Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. It's almost like we half rehearsed it before. Yeah. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome down to the 100th episode of the Do Go On podcast. Yeah. My name is Dave Warnicke, and I'm about to be joined on stage by two of my favourite people in the whole world. We've been together for many a week now. Can you please go crazy for Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart? Yeah.
Dave, I will not go out there without a rock star welcome.
So weird. What are you guys all doing here? No one took these seats either. I would have definitely sat down here. I may well do it.
I was going to say, you will at some point.
No, I need that area side of stage to do some costume changes throughout the show. There will be a little bit of nudity if you can see into the nook there.
Someone did just ask before when I was at the bar, they go, oh, you got anything exciting planned? And I said, no. And that's the truth. Just got balloons.
Yeah, I got balloons. Yeah. Balloons and air conditioning, they don't go together. They don't. And the lady at the shop, Lombards, the paper people in Mooney Ponds, shout out.
Why did you go to Mooney Ponds?
Because it was close to the studio where I was meeting you guys.
Fair enough. Checks out.
Smart. Anyway, she was like, oh, what's the occasion? What's 100? And I was like, a podcast? And she was like...
Yeah, you better believe she stopped asking follow-up questions. Okay.
Oh, well, whatever. Fuck that girl.
But it is so great to be here. Thank you so much for coming out, ladies and gentlemen. 100 weeks, we can't believe it. Though, Matt...
You piece of shit.
I went early. I went early on the seat.
I went to before and I was like, no. I won't be the first.
Cool, all right.
All right.
Hey!
That feels real good.
You guys are a pretty hot crowd if you're wooing us sitting on stools, so thank you so
much. Easy, please. That's what I like in an audience. Low expectations.
This is our 100th episode of the show, though Matt did not fail to remind us that Jess and I have not appeared on all 100.
It's my 100th episode. These clowns have done 98. Thank you. Cheers to you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
We're going to have another live show in 2 weeks for Dave and I for our 100.
That's great. We've also got the 98 balloons out the back. It's going to be great.
But, 98 Luft balloons. Any old people in?
Any old people in? I do want to know who the oldest person here is, because we do actually have our youngest...
I think it's me.
You, probably, yeah. He's in Esther's pointing at you. Because we do actually have our youngest ever listener here. We have a three-month-old up the back, Willow. What?
Is anyone younger than 3 months? Can
anyone older than 3 months?
Not me. Not
me. How the fuck did you all get here? Got a bunch of two-month-olds here.
So we do have a baby on the back. And we also have a very special guest in the crowd. Someone who has come a long, long way, further than Moody Ponds, to get here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a big round of applause. We got this email a few weeks ago saying, oh, hey guys, I really love the show. I'd love to come to the 100th episode, but I live in California. The land that time forgot.
It's real?
I'm excited. Who is it? What, Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mark Zuckerberg is in the building, everybody.
This person has a reality show called Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and they have come a long way. No, we got this email, and they said that they'd love to come to the show, and they're just trying to save up the money if we could put aside a ticket for them. And we said, yeah, we'll put aside a ticket, but there's no way this person's going to come from California to a show that they can listen to for free in 3 days. But come they did, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like him to stand up and take a bow. It's Nestor all the way from California.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Thank you so much.
So, thank you so much for coming along.
He also came to my friend show last night, and he was the only one in the front row. How does it feel now? Look at this. Yeah, it must feel real nice.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
The rest of the room was super packed. People are intimidated by me. I'm a pretty full-on presence. Look at Jess. She looks at me like that sometimes. Normally you guys don't get to see it, but her eyes are saying, shut the fuck up.
See, he can interpret it, but he keeps talking anyway. It's weird. He knows what I'm saying, and he doesn't care.
He doesn't. He does not.
Zoned out. I genuinely zoned out there. Look at that ornate ceiling. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I hadn't noticed the detail. That's beautiful. We're in a weird little, like, what are we in here? What's this? What's going on?
That is a, so that's a bulkhead. That would probably have some sort of ductwork running through it.
Former air conditioning salesman. He knows a lot about it. Now, guys, thank you so much for coming out. Now, I assume that most of you have heard the show, but could I have a round of applause if you've never heard our podcast before?
It's okay. You can clap. That's fine.
It'd be so good if Nestor from California clapped. Yeah. So a few people you've never met.
And that's okay. I saw the hesitation in your face, and that's fine. I understand, because you expect we're going to pick on you, and we're not. We're just genuinely...
I will pick on you, you dickhead.
Yeah. Look at this dickhead. Hey, everybody!
All right, sorry.
Look, you've had... Before this point, you've had 99 opportunities to hear the show. Mm. No, thanks so much for coming out. Now, give us a round of applause if you have heard the show before. Thank God, Nestor. Good.
Oh, thank God. Nesta has heard it, okay.
Thank you so much. This is a show, I'll direct this at you, where one of us picks a topic often suggested by listeners of
the
show.
He's not blinking.
Eye contact, eyes are up here, come on. And lost the spiel. I've lost it. One of us will do a report on a topic suggested by one of the listeners. Wow, are we in love now? Is that how that works? I don't think that's the thing. It is my turn to do a report on a topic.
Yay!
Yeah, we better get going because there is a comedy show coming up here later and we will could be here for a while.
It's in 3 hours' time. Yeah. I think you'll be okay, Dave.
Yeah, we better start. We better start. Oh, my iPad has reminded me that Dugo on 100 is today. So thank you. Luckily I'm here.
Thanks, iPad. Matt and I were very excited when Dave was like, yeah, so I've got the report sorted. And we're like, oh, fuck, we don't have to do reports. Yes!
So good. Now, I've put this topic to the vote there. Our Patreon supporters got to vote of three topics. Round of applause if you voted on that. Any Patreon people here? Oh, beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. Hopefully, everyone chose what you voted for.
Absolutely.
There were three topics in the hat, and one of them got 60% of the vote. So,
do you know what would have been really, really funny? If it got 69% of the votes.
One of the topics got 69% of the vote.
69.
Like the sex thing.
I just made eye contact with the bartender and he was like, you're an idiot.
He also asked before, what's going on down here? I said a podcast. I said, oh.
You always get that reaction from people.
Oh. Cool. So you have a day job. You go, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've got a question to get us on topic, as we always do. I'm going to hand this over to Matt and Jess, and when they inevitably cannot answer, throw it over to you guys.
Brutal, but fair.
My question is this. Which historical figure is the subject of the 1978 Euro disco hit by German-based pop group?
Oh, I know this. I know this.
Of course you do.
Boney M.
Rasputin.
It is Rasputin! Back off! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Ra, ra, Rasputin. Ba-ba-ba-da-boo-doo.
I love that you put on a Russian accent. They do not put on a Russian accent when they sing the song.
Is that what that was? Yeah, all right.
That's do it again.
Normal, that's my normal singing accent, Dave.
You have a singing accent?
You don't? All right.
Now, of the people that voted, give us a round of applause if you did vote for Rasputin. Oh, good. A couple of you. I'm so sorry. It won 60% of the vote, and it's been suggested
by
69% of the vote. And it's been suggested by loads of people, so I'm just going to thank them now. Rasputin has been suggested by...
Rasputin? Okay, I'm putting it out there now. If you say Rasputin, I get to punch you in the leg. Agreed?
But are you one of the people that say Vladimir Putin?
You know me in politics. When would I mention that?
Fair enough.
Probably calling Vlad.
Rasputin has, which I actually believe is more correct, but anyway, we'll go with Rasputin, suggested by loads of people, including Adam M. from Boney M. No, I don't know. At Adam M. His Twitter handle is at Ewok to remember. Well played.
Nah, that's good.
Fraser Baxter at Optimal F. Bax. Molly Bird at Cactus Yogurt. Gina Thrapp.
Thrap.
Thrap. Incredible name. And her handle is at RuggerGirl9. How many Rugger Girls can there be?
Nine.
Correct. Marty Grievous at Marty Grievous. You got in early.
You got it.
Sebastian Culligan at Skullig. Daniel Ryan, the Dryan.
D.D. Ryan.
Oh, yeah, he's
a frequent tweeter.
Frequent tweeter.
Are you going to read all of their
Oh,
handles?
There's only two more. Also an email, Abigail Hansen, and one of my best buddies who this time last week I was attending his wedding and he whispered in my ear, how about you do Rasputin? My friend Jace.
Oh,
congratulations
Jace.
On your wedding last weekend. There you are. I just pointed at the wrong man. There you are. My best buddy.
My best friend in the whole world.
So here we go. Rasputin, apart from the song, do you guys know much about Rasputin? Rasputin?
I've seen Anastasia. So, yeah.
Anastasia was in the singer that wore those pink glasses in the late 90s.
I'm out of love, set me free. No, the movie.
Oh, the best bit of that song? Nailed it. That was my singing accent for you, Matt.
Dave's singing accent is Anastasia.
My singing accent is shithouse. All right. So, Matt, do you know much about the man, the magic?
Yeah, fur hats.
Had a tiny pet bat named Bartok.
Did he like... He danced like kicking his legs out with his ass really close to the ground? Is that him?
With his ass really close to...
Can you show us what you mean?
Am I thinking the right guy?
No, I'm not sure what you mean, Matt.
What do you mean, Matt? Can you show us?
Could you demonstrate?
You've got to have a... No. Well, you know what? You're like... Say I'm... They're like... You know, and they're using their... Like their...
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Nah.
Rasputin. All right, so I'll get into the report then. It's because it sounds like you guys know everything about him anyway. But
I told you, I've seen Anastasia.
Amanda, set me free. Great track.
No, it's not. Did she have any other songs?
Left Outside Alone.
To be left outside alone. It's cold out here. Thank you.
You answered way too quickly. Way too quickly.
He's wearing an Anastasia t-shirt right now. Good one. Sorry, I forgot about Left Outside Alone. You're
so
right.
Good.
She's had two songs.
Any
How
others?
Many you
any
had,
others?
Jess?
Sir, if you know any others.
Sick and tired.
Are you googling it right now? I don't know. Sick and tired. Give us a bar.
I'm sick of being sick and tired.
Round of applause. Round of applause. That was awesome. Look, I don't often say this, but that was possibly almost as good as what I did. So. Nearly.
He doesn't often say that.
Really, no.
He's really up himself.
All right. Grigori Rasputin. Rasputin.
Sorry. What's his first name?
Grigori.
Gregory.
Well, it's got an I in there.
Still Gregory, isn't it?
All right. Yes or no, Gregory Rasputin.
Greg Rasputin.
Yeah, let's call him Greg.
All right, Greg. Born into...
Not so scary now, is he?
Stinky Greg.
Yeah, he's in the Wiggles. I am... that's two words of this 3,000-word report. Greg was born into a peasant family in Siberia, Russia, in January 1869.
A good year.
Yes.
A sex year.
Regret face. A sex year. We've never said that. And it doesn't make sense.
I forgot your catchphrase. I thought that's what it was.
A sex year.
A sex year.
That does sound like something I would say. Fair enough.
He was born into a tiny village that's actually unpronounceable and in the middle of nowhere. I'll put it on the map for you. It's just above, imagine where Kazakhstan is. Do you guys know geography?
Yeah.
Yep. North of that, about 2,000 km east of Moscow.
Oh, yep.
Great.
Yeah, I got it.
Anywhere near Turkmenistan?
Yes, north of there.
Okay, great. Now I get it.
He was originally christened...
Christened.
Grigory Yefimovic Novik. And his father, Ephim. Ephim Ryder.
Ephim.
Ephim was a peasant farmer and church elder who...
He farmed peasants!
A 100 weeks together.
98.
That's all. A peasant farmer and a church elder, so he's a very religious man, who married Rasputin's mother, Anna.
Anna.
I was about to talk into my beer. Surely that's Anna.
No, if it's one N.
It's double N.
Double N, that's Anna.
Anna.
I've got an Anna here and she gets real pissed off when people say Anna. Just a fun fact for you. Wanted to mention that I have a friend.
Good on you.
Prove it.
Good on you. Anna.
Anna.
Matt's already put himself into timeout.
He still has a mic though, so...
The couple, this is Ephraim and Anna, had 7 other children, all of whom died in infancy or early childhood.
Other children. Eight kids.
Eight kids. Question is, do they know what was causing it? Do they know?
Sex.
Not much is known about Greg's childhood, other than the fact that despite attending school, the peasant man remained illiterate well into adulthood.
The peasant man. That's mean.
I wasn't just calling him Greg. A local archival record suggests that he had a somewhat of an unruly youth, possibly involving drinking, small thefts, and disrespecting local authorities.
Sounds like you, Matthew.
But there is no evidence of him being charged with stealing horses, blasphemy, or other major crimes that he was later rumoured to have committed as a young man.
That's so, just getting changed. He's literally doing a costume
change. It's really
change.
Hot in here.
So take off all your clothes. I am getting so high. I want you to go on with the report, please, Dave.
Yeah, to be honest, I prefer Anastasia songs, so that's where I'm at in my life.
Fair.
Somewhere along the track, reputation for Gregory's licentiousness, a.k.a. being promiscuous and unprincipled in sexual matters.
Licentiousness.
May have earned him the surname Rasputin, which is Russian for debauched one.
So Greg the Slut.
Greg the Slut. Or, I will pose this caveat that some historians believe Rasputin means where two rivers meet. A phrase...
Like sluts.
A phrase that describes an area where he was born in Siberia, but that's really, really boring. So we're going to go with sluts.
Greg the Slut.
We're going to go with that. It's much more fun to talk about how, even as a young man, he gained a reputation as a rake. A man with a debauched and endless sexual appetite.
And also collector of leaves.
This. I can confirm that is also true.
You're so happy with yourself over there, aren't you? Come on, come back. Oh, costume change number one. And
yeah, I said there was nothing special happening, but all right.
Your special thing is wearing a T-shirt.
You know, these guys put in effort, so I thought I should as well.
Okay. Fair. Do go on.
At the age of 18, Rasputin underwent a religious conversion. He entered a monastery with the intention of becoming a monk, where he may have learned to read and write... But after a few months, he left, presumably to get married to a peasant girl that he had been courting. Her name, Praskovya.
Praskovya. Okay.
Have I nailed that? Every other name you've picked me up on so far.
Well done, David.
Thank you. Praskovya. At the age of 19, he wed Praskovya, and they later had 5 children, 3 of whom lived.
So 3's fine. We won't make, 3's okay, right?
What happened to the other 2?
They did not live.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Whew, thank goodness for that. But in 1893, Rasputin decided to leave his family to travel, just to take a gap year to find himself.
A gap year from a family.
Guys.
Nah, that makes sense.
Just going to be away for a year.
Yeah. I need to find myself.
I've met a couple of Greg the Sluts on Contiki tours in my time.
Yeah.
Never been on one, but it sounded funny, and then I thought, I don't want people thinking I've been on a Contiki tour.
and ruin your incredible reputation. So he's suddenly travelling, he's on his gap year. He suddenly had a keen interest in religion. Some suggest this was because he'd had a vision of the Virgin Mary. Others say he just needed to skip town to avoid punishment for stealing a horse.
Let's go with the horse option.
Yeah. Either way, he was now pretty religious. He left
stealing
home.
A horse will do that.
Yeah, exactly. It'll change.
It'll change you.
It'll change you.
Yeah.
Stealing a horse on Contiki tour will really change you. Matt, am I right?
Yes. I know. Damn it.
He left home and wandered to Mount Athos in Greece and then to Jerusalem. And I say wandered, but that is a 4,300-kilometre wander.
That's quite a wander.
It's quite a long wander.
You know when you're with your mum on a Sunday and she goes, let's go for a wander. That's not a wander.
Yeah, let's go to Mount Athos.
Yeah. No, mum.
Not again.
I'm not going to Mount Athos, mum. Mount means sex.
Possibly that's why Rasputin went there in the first place. Regret face number 1.
That's like number 3.
Please do go on, Dave.
Is this Pat nice and patronising?
Yes. Thank you.
On his wanderings, on his several thousand kilometre wanderings, he lived off the peasants, off peasants' donations, and started.
Oh my god!
So peasants, presumably, don't have a lot of money, and then he's taking money from them
because he started to gain a reputation as a self-proclaimed holy man with the ability to heal the sick and predict the future.
Self-proclaimed anything is fucked. Like, you can be anything if you just say you are. I'm the Queen of England.
Self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed. I'm the self-proclaimed Queen of England, and you are all my subjects.
Now, but you sound a little bit doubtful about him being able to have these paranormal activities. Are you doubting that?
I'm a little doubtful, yes.
Well, let me just say that my favourite sentence written about Rasputin that I could find is from Orthodox Wikipedia, the encyclopedia and information centre for Orthodox Christianity.
I've been using regular Wikipedia.
No, you haven't lived until you've gone Orthodox. It says...
That's the best! Sorry.
And you will find such nuggets of information as this. Quote, during his youth, Rasputin gained a reputation of supernatural powers, which he allegedly... when he allegedly identified a horse thief by paranormal powers.
That guy's taking that horse.
And then it has no information or any sources to back that up. So his reputation is, horse thief, bang. He's pretty good at this. He's pretty good.
Wow. I'm sorry, I doubted him.
And he also looked at the part. He started to wear the robes of a monk, and he accepted God, but not in the same way that hardline monks of the day did. Rasputin was more convinced that God is all about pleasure and fun, which is unlike any religious person I've ever met. The rigidness of a normal monkhood was alien to him. To quote another strange website, it practically is, it's petersburgmystichistory.info.
What?
What? Petersburg.
Petersburg.
Look,
it did sound like
you heard Penisburg too, right? I was like, no, that's not a website.
Did anyone end up buying bumhouse.com? Because if you have a its sister website could be Penisburg Mystery History Info.
Penisburg. Don't like that.
Penisburg writes, quote, he loved wine, women, music, dances, long and interesting conversations.
Oh, that's his Tinder profile right there.
Right there. Hey guys, I'm all about horse thieves,
wine, women, and just like a long chat. Let's just chat. Let's get to know each other.
And then all about his crazy promiscuous sex.
Mm.
That's what Tinder's about, isn't it? He returned to his village, a changed man, now looking disheveled and behaving differently than he had before. He was now rocking a sweet beard. Disheveled.
You do that genuinely, very often, and it's concerning. No, good on you. All right.
He was also, Matt, a vegetarian. Starting to describe that here. But one thing that sets you apart from Rasputin is he started to swear off alcohol.
Oh, I didn't know.
Nah. I swear on alcohol, you fucking dickhead. Yeah.
Yeah, don't encourage
that. Change the meaning of swear there for humorous effect. Yeah, arguably.
All right. Swearing off alcohol did not last long for Rasputin, and he went back into drink.
It never does. Anytime anybody's like, it's usually after a hangover. Like, I'm never drinking again. I'm never doing it. And the next weekend, it's like, woo! Anyway.
I did that this morning.
Never drinking again. Yeah, never doing it.
He made a living as a mystic, and whilst his main home was still in his home village, he went on lots of pilgrimages. So he's now a fly-in, fly-out pilgrimage kind of guy. That's what he's doing. Yes, I wrote that down.
And when you wrote it, presumably 3 weeks ago, because you're very organised with these, you wrote it, right? You wrote it, and then you went... Am I right?
Yeah, which is pretty much the reaction I got from the live crowd too. So.
I get it. It's not good, but I get it. No, good on you. Go,
thank you
go.
So much. Throughout his travels, word of Rasputin's activity and charisma began to spread in Siberia during the early 1900s. He acquired a reputation as a wise and perceptive starets. which is a holy man, who could help people resolve their spiritual crises, and anxieties.
Oh.
So he's a calmer. He's a calm guy.
He's just a chill dude.
He's super chill. And he started to acquire a bit of a posse that travelled with him. And despite rumours that Rasputin was having sex with most of his female followers, he won over church officials, and his charisma and apparent healing powers even impressed a local powerful bishop named Chrysanthemos.
So far, this is sounding quite a bit like Charles Manson, too.
Healed with his dick.
It's a bit culty, isn't it?
It's a little bit culty.
Yeah, I really thought he was a dancer, but
I thought he was a cartoon villain, so we were both wrong.
Matt, if I can refer you to penisbergmysteryhistory.info, he loved wine, women, music, dancers.
Yeah, all right.
So
I can dig this guy. Sounds like you're reading off my own biography.
Also found on orthodoxwikipedia.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
So he's befriended a local bishop who gave him a letter of recommendation to a powerful person in the church in St. Petersburg, the Big Smoke, and it was arranged for him to wander over in 1903 to St. Petersburg, another 2,500-kilometre wander.
And it's not a wander.
His main reason for going to the big city was to raise money to build a monastery in his village.
Okay.
So that's what he's going
for. He's going to build a monastery. A brothel.
Yeah, actually, yes. The court circles and upper classes of St. Petersburg at that time were entertaining themselves by delving into mysticism and the occult, so when Rasputin rocks up, a filthy, unkempt wanderer with extraordinary eyes.
Oh.
And supposed healing and fortune-telling talents, he was warmly welcomed by the aristocracy.
What's so extraordinary about his eyes? Do they People shoot write laser about, beams?
They're like this sort of...
Pew, pew, pew! That's extraordinary. Otherwise, not impressed.
Well, it's going to be hard to impress you now. He just had these beautiful sort of green eyes that would stare into your soul.
Much like...
But I have blue eyes. Nah, yours are pretty good. She's got good eyes, guys. Take it from me, if you're up the back, you can't see shit. Sorry about that, should have got here earlier.
I like it when Dave turns. It's fun, isn't it? It goes from like game show host to fuck you, fuck you. It's like, okay, all right.
Who will I kill next? You. No, you're right. You're okay. You're all good. You're all good. I love you all. Love you all. Are you doing a bit of love up the back there? Give us some love in the back row. Woo! Nice. Guys.
That was so creepy.
Just work in the room here, don't mind me.
Nice.
So he's a big hit with the
Matt's zoned out. Hang on, let's get him back. Come on.
He's a big hit with the upper classes. But he probably only stayed a few months on this initial visit to St. Petersburg. But he made quite a splash there and was invited back in 1905.
Oh, he was invited? Oh,
he does come back.
Are there many cities now that are invite-only?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I was going to say the capital of North Korea, but then I remembered I don't know what it is.
Pyongyang.
Pyongyang. Wish
Nailed
I knew it
because
it would have been real good.
We have been invited over to the first ever North Korean podcast festival. Still waiting to decide if we're into it or not.
David, yep. Dave, is that true?
Yeah, yeah,
Dave,
it is.
Have we been invited there?
Yeah, we have, personally.
Dave, I don't want to go. Dave, don't make me go.
You have got nice eyes.
It's the first time he's ever looked at them.
Yeah, really nice. Over time, now he's back in St. Petersburg, he's moving up the ranks and he's formed friendships with several members of the aristocracy.
Up the ranks of his own cult? Oh, the aristocracy.
Oh, no. Okay. He's meeting royals now, including the black princesses, as I recall, Militsa and Anastasia of Montenegro.
Anastasia.
She's out of love. Can you think of a fourth Anastasia track?
No, that's it. Yeah.
You knew that question's coming.
She did a version of Elton John's Saturday.
Did she? How would that go?
Saturday.
Sounding more like
Saturday.
Elton, doing more like Anastasia.
Repeat 100 times. That's how that song goes. Let's say 100. Say Saturday 100 times. Anyway, he's met the black princesses. They're married to the Tsar's cousin, or the Tsar's cousins, and were instrumental in introducing Rasputin to Tsar Nicholas II and his family. The Tsar, of course, being the king of Russia.
I know. My face is blank because I'm bored.
All right.
Not because I don't know.
I've got to get through the admin before we can get to more sex and killing. All right.
No, you're doing great. I'm recognising these names from Anastasia, and I'm excited to start filling in the blanks with my knowledge.
Look, okay, when you first mentioned Anastasia, I thought, I've seen that. And then I imagined the movie Fantasia. And I was like...
Very similar.
Where was Rasputin? Where was he?
Rasputin was dancing with the mob.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's how I know him. Anyway, so he's met the king.
Tsar Nick.
Nicholas II. Rasputin first met the Tsar in November 1905 at the Peterhof Palace. The Tsar recorded the event in his diary, writing, "A few days ago, I received a peasant."
Dear diary. It's me, Tsar Nicholas again. As you know, this is my diary.
Received a peasant as a gift?
I received a peasant.
Or
what does that mean?
Sexually.
Oh.
Well, he did bring a gift. I received a peasant from the Tobolsk district. This is a classic Russian accent. Grigory Rasputin, who brought me an icon of St. Simon the Cook. He made a remarkable...
Sorry, Dave, I missed that part.
St. Simon the Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Again, authentic. He made a remarkably strong impression, both on Her Majesty and on myself, so that instead of 5 minutes, our conversation went on for more than an hour.
More than half.
End quote. Sorry. Thank you, diary. Good night.
It's Tsar Nicholas, by the way.
Love. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so bad at ending these. Oh. Okay, bye. Oh, too much. Oh, now my diary thinks I'm clingy. Oh.
I don't know what you would do to that diary, but I like it.
You know when I text you and do a little XX? That's what I'm actually doing to my phone.
Matt is in shock. So he's made a good impression on the Tsar. Rasputin would not meet the Tsar and his wife again for some months. He returned to his town shortly after their first meeting and did not return to St. Petersburg until the following year. However, he started writing several letters to the Tsar.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Rasputin. This is I, Tsar Nicholas II. I do wish you would come at once. I left the oven on and I don't know how to turn it off. I am a king. I do not usually turn on the oven.
I was trying to bake cookies for when you visited. I got nervous.
I have burnt
do you like cookies?
I've burnt down several of the royal palace's best rooms.
He's
love, Tsar Nicholas.
P.S. It's Tsar Nicholas, by the way. He's real clingy.
He's so clingy.
Play it cool, man. Jesus.
Right, you can
treat him mean, keep him keen. Dear Rasputin, visit or don't, whatevs. Don't care. Signed, anonymous.
I just hit my face on the mic. So sorry. All right, guys.
Matt, you have zoned right out, haven't you?
It's really hot in here.
Matt, do you want to take those pants off?
He only has one other layer, so he's done.
Fuck. You guys not feeling...
All no, right. I dressed appropriately. Can you try to concentrate?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, mate.
All right, guys.
Thanks so much.
Here's a serious bit. The Tsar, Nicholas II, and his wife, the Tsarina.
Fuck off.
They're called the Tsarina. I didn't know
fuck
that.
Fuck off. Tsarina. Don't like it. Tsarina. Doesn't, no, I don't like it.
They had five children together. The youngest and only male, and therefore next in line to the throne, Alexei, was born in 1904 with haemophilia. Haemophilia is a mostly inherited genetic disorder that impairs the body's ability to make blood clots, a process needed to stop bleeding. So he can't stop bleeding.
I know, yeah, I know.
I know most people probably know what haemophilia is, but just in case, I put that in there because I'm going to talk about it for about 10 minutes.
Why?
Because at the time, haemophilia was referred to as the royal disease. This was because across Europe...
What would it be now? Chlamydia. Would it? What do they all got? A lot of them.
Yeah.
Even the little ones.
Oh.
That was too far. It's good to know where the line, though. The line moves, I feel.
You can't say babies have got chlamydia anymore. PC police going mad.
It's a nanny state. Open your eyes, sheeple. Sorry, Willow.
So it was referred to as the royal disease. This is because across Europe, it seemed that every king and queen at the time were descendants of Queen Victoria, who herself had 9 children. The question, of course, being, do they know what was causing it? And I've actually written that down here.
You really did. Oh, that's sweet.
Could it be the inbreeding?
Yes.
A little of that, and also her children married European royalty across the continent, which for a time was a good thing, as was seen at the time that family would be less likely to go to war with each other, which until 1914 was true. A side effect. History buffs, what's up? A side effect of all being related. Yes, I did just say history buffs, what's up? Can't believe it.
Let it out, Jess.
No. He has to earn it.
A side effect of all being related is that you are susceptible to sharing the same genetic disorders. So 3 of Victoria's children had haemophilia, and then they passed it on to their kids in the royal families of Spain, Germany, and Russia. So Tsar Nicholas II, his only male heir, is a baby that suffers from a disease that makes even a small wound make you likely to bleed to death. And at a time where medical science isn't that great, it's a really worrying thing, so he's really worried about
they
that.
They have, like, just every room, Band-Aids. Packet of Band-Aids in every room, quick access. They had them, yeah? They had the tough strip ones. They're good.
Yeah. Oh.
They will not come off. They're so good.
Not the plastic shit out.
No, fuck those off.
The ones with pictures of the Wiggles on them that I definitely didn't have.
I definitely
did. Yeah, I did.
They're perfect for fingers. And as a nail biter, they're perfect. It's a fun... It's not all comedy.
Some of it's biographical and sad.
See, the line. You never know. You know sometimes they hate me, sometimes they pity me. I'll take anything. I want to feel something.
This is all at a time. This is all at a time where the Tsar was already in hot water because he just lost a war over in Japan that everyone thought Russia was definitely going to win, and actually they were annihilated and they lost their whole Russian Baltic fleet. So
they lost it.
They lost it. Sean Connery was in charge and they lost every single ship. The submarines fared even worse. I'm really happy I found some S words there. So stuff's not going well for him with the people. It's not going well at home. His kid's very sick.
His diary's like, dude, back off. You know, it's just all round.
Please, leave me be. The biggest concern is that Alexei's going to die, and the royal doctors think that it's likely that this baby's not going to live, and it's the only male heir, so he's really worried about that. So the doctors could not help Alexei. So the Tsarina, the mother, Alexandra, looked everywhere for help, ultimately turning to her best friend and lady-in-waiting, Anna, probably Anna, to secure the help of the charismatic peasant healer Rasputin in 1905. So they sent out a letter, they're like, we need your help, and he arrived at the palace and went to work on the boy straight away, and to everyone's amazement, the bleeding seemed to stop for some time. I don't know how long. Like
it
10
didn't
seconds?
Stop, it seemed to. it kept going.
Oh, it stopped. No, I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm wrong. I'm sorry, it's bleeding.
That red stuff, that's blood.
Thanks for coming back in for that. Yeah.
Now, some historians have speculated that the bleeding likely stopped as a result of Rasputin's insistence on disallowing medicine, and they were giving him aspirin at the time, which is a known blood-thinning agent that would have made you bleed even more.
And I'm an idiot and I know that. Anyway, now good on you, doctors.
Thanks for coming back in for that, Jeff.
I like it when you're mean.
All right, well, get ready, motherfuckers.
Here we go.
The bad boy of the Dugo on podcast over there.
Yeah, that's right, dickhead. Yeah.
I walked right into that, I did.
More where that came from. Fuck stick. Oh.
What's this gesture
diminishing
you're doing?
Returns there.
What's this? What's that?
That's... You know.
Why are you doing that?
Whenever I've got my own thing, Jess, you have to shoot it down. People were starting to say we're doing the mat. We're doing the mat. And now here you come along and make it seem less cool than it is. Thank you very much.
That's the Jess. Just shitting all over people's dreams.
I have a dream. It goes like this.
It's a dumb dream. And Bindi Irwin's a bitch.
The deep cut. Does that mean anything to you at all?
We just don't have time. Yeah, sorry. But you get it, right? Like, she's so patronising. Hi, everyone. Fuck off.
We tried to make Jess's life a Bindi-free zone because she gets real angry.
Get real mad. Shut up, you dumb fuck. She's so annoying. Anyway, I'm ready for you to move on now.
Sorry to interrupt your little rant there with some facts, but here we go. The other theory is that Rasputin may have just calmed down the boy with hypnosis.
Ah.
Calmed him down so then, you know, stop struggling, stop bleeding. The other theory is he's magic.
We all know which one we're going for.
And to the person who mattered the most in this situation, the boy's mother, the Tsarina, she was amazed and immediately enlisted the services of Rasputin as a close advisor.
Ooh.
So suddenly he's in. He's in with the royal family. Upon leaving the palace, he warned the parents that the destiny of both the child and the dynasty were irrevocably linked to him, thereby setting in motion a decade of Rasputin's powerful influence on the imperial family and the affairs of state.
So that's just as he left?
So as he left, he throws
Guys,
that at them.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been absolutely delightful. Those cookies were amazing. Thank you so much, Sir Nicholas. By the way, if you ever cross me, your son's going to die. Bye! Is that how it went? Do you have a transcript? Do you have a transcript there?
That's pretty much exactly what happened. And they bought it. They bought his bullshit. He's in with the top dogs. So in the presence of the royal family, Rasputin, he's a smart guy. He consistently maintained the posture of a humble and holy peasant in front of them.
The posture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My back hurts. Outside court, however, he soon fell into his former licentious habits.
Licentious. Preaching. Don't like that word.
This is what he preaches. He preaches that physical contact with his own person had a purifying and healing effect, thereby acquiring many mistresses and many women wanting to seduce him because they think that he's some sort of magic man.
Sure. Okay.
He's like, if you have sex with me, you'll be cool.
Does that work? Asking for a friend. I have magical powers. I was going to say something really gross there, and I stopped myself. That's growing up.
What were you going to say? You have a
magical puss. Yeah, see, I stopped myself, and it was the right choice. And then I said it anyway. And that was the wrong choice. Do you see where I went wrong, guys? Yes.
Many women were keen to experience his purifying effect. But one thing I will note here is that Rasputin continued to see his family. His daughters later lived with him in St. Petersburg, and he supported his wife financially.
Oh, man, some people just make it all work, you know? You can have it all. You know, good relationship with your kids, but you're very absent, and you can just fuck anything that moves. But your wife's not mad at you.
She ain't mad. When accounts of Rasputin's conduct reached the ears of Nicholas, the Tsar, the Tsar refused to believe that the man he referred to as our friend and our holy man, a sign of trust that the family had placed in him, that could do any wrong. So he's like, no, not my guy.
No, he'd never do that. He's not a slut at all.
And anyone who pointed the finger at Rasputin had backfired for them because his accusers found themselves transferred to remote regions of the empire or entirely removed from their positions of influence. Oh. So you couldn't badmouth him. The Tsarina was particularly close with Rasputin and began to believe that God was speaking to her through him.
I've missed so much. What? What is happening?
You've been here the whole time. Where do you go?
Where do you go?
My lovely...
Where are you?
Where did you go?
He's a peasant farmer, right?
Yeah, he's a magic man. He's got a magic penis.
Okay.
Does that explain
it? Now
that
he says it, I hear it.
All right.
I hear how gross that is. Sorry.
Are you on board now?
I think so. Magic dick. Yeah. All right.
Back on board?
Yeah. Back on board.
Alrighty. Welcome back.
With that two-word phrase, we've explained everything so far on the podcast. While fascinated by Rasputin, the St. Petersburg elite, chicken and leek pie. Oh my God, I love that.
We lost him.
Oh.
He's gone.
Sorry, where am I?
Let's talk about pies.
The St. Petersburg elite did not widely accept Rasputin. He did not fit in with the rest of the royal family, and he and the Russian Orthodox Church had a very strained relationship, accusing him of a variety of immoral or evil practices. At one point, people complained to Tsar Nicholas, some powerful people, and they sent Rasputin away for a couple of months. But then his boy got sick again, so they brought him back. And after that, they never mentioned anything again. He could pretty much do anything he wanted from that point on.
He could do anything or anyone he wanted.
Anyone. So, anyway, the Tsar wasn't doing anything to stop him. But the people of Russia were starting to talk. Between 1906 and 1914, various politicians and journalists used Rasputin's association with the imperial family to undermine the dynasty's credibility and push for reform, making the royals less and less popular. So they start publishing all these articles in newspapers, and they have cartoons of Rasputin, and everyone's like, well, if the royals are into that kind of weird stuff, then maybe we're not into the royals.
Sure. Do you know what? If somebody posted an article about the royals being really into, like, bondage, I'd like them more. You know?
You're on board?
I'd just be like, oh, they're people. Yeah. Can you imagine, just picture, because, like, the Queen must watch Netflix, you know? Like,
yeah,
she's got downtime.
She watches The Crown. She's like, this is fucking wrong. Yeah. I didn't say that shit.
That's not true. But just imagine her, like, sitting in bed just watching Netflix. Like, she's just a person. She poos.
No, she does not.
She does not.
How dare you? How dare you?
Blasphemous. There'd be a time in history where you'd be executed for saying that.
I'm just saying.
And I think we should bring it back, personally. Personally, I do.
So it's funny when he's me. Okay, yeah, cool. Finding the line. Finding the line.
That's right. I'm allowed to threaten anyone I want, this fucker right here. Nah, you're cool. Love ya.
Hey, Dave, which one's your best mate?
Oh, no, the Anastasia. Sorry, Jason, I went to his wedding, but the guy that knows Anastasia. For sure. Afterwards, I'll show you my Anastasia song, Saturday with Elton John, and we'll have a great time. We can cue that up, right? So he's in with the top dogs. People are publishing shit about him. And then in 1914, tensions and rivalries across Europe are boiling over, and out of nowhere, World War I is declared.
What?
A war is declared, and then it all...
The first one.
It kicks off. The First World War. Huh. And they were like...
Never heard of it. I have. That's the joke. It's very good.
I actually wasn't surprised. So, and as Russia entered World War I, Rasputin predicted that calamity would befall the country. And he was right because Russia was very unprepared.
Okay.
And it's kind of a bit of...
They had one grenade. Are we good? I don't know.
How many million people would this hand grenade kill? 2 million. That's not enough.
I'm going to need at least 5 more hand grenades.
And also, a big part of Russia being in the war, it's because it was Tsar Nicholas's fault. So people are pretty pissed off about that because they're not ready for that.
Dear Diary.
Dear Diary.
Made a bit of a whoopsie.
Well, he took command of the Russian army himself.
That's
not
never
a good
idea.
Idea.
No.
Move over, highly trained generals. It is I, the Tsar.
Me and my diary will lead this war. Diary, what should I do? He's gone completely mad by this time.
Well, while he's away commanding the war, the Tsarina took responsibility for domestic policy. Always
typical. Put the woman in the domestic role. Great.
Well, now she's sort of in charge of the
cleaning,
at home room,
the sandwiches
for the whole country.
Buying easy off BAM when they run out.
How many peasants will this hand grenade feed? 2 million. That's not enough. How you doing over there, Matt?
That was very good.
Thank you.
To be honest, deserved more, but...
More than your...
If Matt makes any noise, I'm like, I got one. I got one.
So creepy. It's like a weird crow in here. I'm not going to laugh the rest of the pod. I'm just going to do that.
I'm waiting for you. What you got? Oh, no.
Is that you being the crow?
I don't know.
All right. You okay?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, Matt, if I could just sum it up for you, because you've probably zoned out the last 10 minutes.
They're now in World War One.
Yeah.
Tsar Nicholas is away. His wife's now in charge. And her closest advisor is Rasputin. And everyone's like, hey, you should get rid of that guy they're starting to refer to as the Mad Monk. And all the government officials are trying to warn her that he's a bit crazy. But she continues to defend him, and then he becomes her number one advisor. So now he's really powerful.
That's a terrible idea. Yeah. That's a really bad idea. And I've seen the film. He's a baddie. He's got a little tube thing with like glowing green demons in it.
No.
But an adorable pet bat called Bartok. He's so cute.
So anyway, it all evens out in the end.
Yeah, so it's fine, actually.
Yeah, don't worry.
I was too hard on him.
He was the Mad Monk, because they called Tony Abbott the Mad Monk. He was the original.
Yeah, there's room enough in this world for 2 Mad Monks.
Wow. That's the first impressive fact you've brought today.
Hey, one per show. That's all we're contractually obligated to do. So I'm happy with that.
So they don't like it when you're mean to him. Interesting. Interesting. Say something mean to me. Go on, let's just try.
Is that really your hair?
They love it.
Wrecked. Oh.
step to me again.
We're going to talk about this off the pod.
I know.
I am very mad at you. You know this is my hair. I talk about it all the time. I'm like, hi guys, this is my hair. He never listens. Dave, is this my hair? They never listen.
I just don't want to say the wrong thing. So he's now in charge, and he's actually, he's so in charge. He's actually making making recommendations for ministerial appointments, and that's pissing off everyone. He's continuing on the side.
Appointments like your Tuesday at 3:30 or? Yeah.
No, like, you can be the Queen, you can be the Prime Minister, you can have my Tuesday at 3:30 appointment.
So he's Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's room enough in this world for two Mad Monks and two Oprahs. Okay, there we go. He was very busy because he was managing to keep his drunkenness and affairs with women of all social backgrounds going on the side, from street sex workers all the way to society ladies. He was everywhere, and he was constantly in the papers for this scandalous behaviour. I will say, Rasputin's wife, however, appeared untroubled by his infidelities, commenting, "He has enough for all."
Ew.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't like that.
What are they talking about specifically there? Are we talking about jism?
He's got enough jizz for all. You get some jizz. You get some jizz. Everybody get some jizz!
Do not check under your seats. Oh, my God. No good.
Nah, give it a little tap.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. That's enough. Come on.
So people are pissed off at Rasputin. They're also pissed off at the Tsarina for bringing him in. They're also annoyed at her, suspicious of her, because she's actually Anglo-German descent, a.k.a. the enemy at the time. And she was accused of being a spy for Germany. Oh. And soldiers on World War I's Eastern Front apparently spoke of Rasputin having an intimate affair with Alexandra, the Tsarina.
No, he wouldn't.
And it was past.
He's got boundaries, you know.
These days, it's actually considered they didn't have an affair, but at the time, people are thinking that that's what's going on.
Bitter.
They're talking about that.
Thanks for clarifying, Jess. For people at home, she's doing the finger dick into the hand mutt.
Yuck. So while rumours were being published, everyone was talking. Something had to be done about this Rasputin.
Ooh, okay.
What's to be done about this Homer
Simpson? What are they going to do? What are they going to do?
What do you reckon, Matt? Play some bets?
15.
I was still thinking about the hand mutt. What was the...
Oh, he's always thinking about the hand.
Something had to be done about Rasputin. I'll tell you, in 1914, a 33-year-old peasant woman attempted to assassinate Rasputin by stabbing him in the stomach outside his home. He was seriously wounded.
The stomach?
Well, his intestines apparently were hanging out of the wound. That's how bad he was.
Okay, so she did all right.
She did a good job. And for a time, it was not clear if he would survive the attack. But after a local doctor performed emergency surgery in his home, and after some time in hospital, he recovered fully from the attack, and this led to his legend growing. Perhaps he couldn't die.
No, I reckon he can. And will.
Ah, he's here tonight. Welcome.
Is that the dance? Rasputin was aware of the dangers he was in. In 1916, he wrote a letter to the Tsarina and made a prediction about his own death.
Dear Tsarina,
if I am killed by her common assassins, and especially by my brothers, the Russian peasants, you, the Tsar of Russia, have nothing to fear. Remain on your throne and govern. But if I am murdered by boyars or nobles, and if they shed my blood, their hands will remain soiled with my blood for 25 years. They will not wash their hands from my blood. So what he's saying is, if a peasant takes me out, you'll be fine. But if a rich person takes me out, you're fucked.
But 25 years...
of fucked.
But, like, you'd think you could threaten forever, you know? I'm happy you went 25 and not, like, 27. Oh, that would drive me fucking crazy. But for 21 and a half years, I'd be like, I'm going back in time and killing you right now. Fuck you. but 25's fine.
25. So some people think he can't die. Enter a man named Felix Yusupov.
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 Felix was already good, you know? I was already like, yeah, Felix Yusupov.
Felix Yusupov.
That's great.
An extremely wealthy man who was husband...
Where are you?
I'm in my mind. I'm in the place he's talking about.
Which is?
Rasputin.
All right, can't argue with that. You're in Rasputin.
Felix... Oh, who wasn't in Rasputin? Story's full of it. Felix Yusupov is an extremely wealthy man who was husband to the Tsar's niece. So he's a slight royalty. His family were wealthier than the royal family and possibly the richest family in all of Russia.
Nice.
He managed to avoid enlisting during World War I due to being an only son, which is a loophole in Russia at the time, and he was criticised for being a coward. A relative wrote of him, Felix is a downright civilian, dressed all in brown. Virtually doing
brown.
Nothing.
Brown? Oh, scum colour.
Yeah, because he's fucking pooed his pants. He's a coward. Virtually doing nothing, an utterly unpleasant impression he makes. A man idling in such time. So he's worried everyone's talking about how he's a massive coward. So he decided to try and win back some pride for the family and the monarchy by killing the man that was tainting their image. Rasputin.
Oh, okay.
Plotting Rasputin's murder...
That's the guy we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Which is not a place, even though Matt thinks it is. Plotting Rasputin's murder...
Huh?
The murder would give Yusupov the opportunity to reinvent himself as a patriot and a man of action. He'd look like a cool guy.
Dave's doing this. A patriot. That's great.
The most famous version of events is described in Felix Yusupov's memoir is this. So this is the guy, the murdering, attempted murder guy writes this, so take it with a grain of salt.
Okay, so he wrote a memoir, so he lives...
Yeah, great.
He wrote the...
You piece of shit.
In December 1916, he invited Rasputin over to meet his wife, the niece of the Tsar. Rasputin went probably because he thought she was a beautiful woman and they could have sex. That's why he went over. But when he got there, Felix's wife wasn't around. Rasputin was...
going to say, she was a real uggo.
He was like, no thanks.
He still fucked her, but he wasn't happy about it. Okay, I just can't read you people. I'll just have a timeout.
Rasputin was taken to a dining...
Look what you've done. Hey? Happy now?
Yes, yes. Oh. No, they don't want it.
The saddest chant of all. One man yelling Jess three times and then giving up.
Now Jess knows what it feels like when you've been left outside alone.
There's a little sticker here that says peel off. And I'm gonna. Oh, hey! All right, back to timeout, sorry.
All right, back from timeout. So he's gone there. The lady that he wants to meet isn't there, but he's invited down to the basement anyway, and he's served a platter of cakes. He doesn't know this, but they are laced with potassium cyanide. They're thinking, this'll do the trick. To Yusupov's astonishment, Rasputin appeared to be unaffected by the poison. He then asked for some Madeira wine, which they'd also poisoned. He drank three glasses, but still showed no signs of distress. Keep them coming! Cyanide, like really, really potent poison. And he's like, what's up? Where's this lady? Where is she? A desperate Yusupov, thinking his plan's falling apart, he borrowed the revolver of the Tsar's cousin, who was also in on the plot, and he shot Rasputin in the back. He's like, oh, fuck. Oh, that'll do. He fell to the floor.
Not a good time to have you back to us, Jeff.
I'll just do this. No one gets shot in the side.
The trust you have.
They picked up a gun and shot him in the side. No, they didn't. No, he's on the ground. They're shot. They're like, fuck, he's finally dead. So they went outside to dispose of his clothes, like his jacket and his hat.
So he's just dead and naked.
Yeah.
Hot. No, that's cool.
But when Felix... No good. When Felix went back in, the body was still warm with small drops of blood coming from the wound. He lifted the body by the shirt and shook it and it dropped again to the floor. So he was like, oh, this is cool. He then
this is cool. Man, this is... All right.
Sick. He then noticed that the left eye of Rasputin started to open.
Like then Dave, when you sleep.
Then the right eye, also like asleep. Suddenly, Rasputin leapt from the floor with a, quote, devil's look in his eyes.
What's that look like, Dave?
He also let out a wild cry. He attacked Felix. Felix struggled for a moment and broke free. Wounded, Rasputin fell again to the floor. Rasputin, not done, crawled up the stairs and started to run outside into the snow. He was shot two more times, once in the back and then once in the head. Worried that this wasn't enough, Felix started to beat him with a rubber club. I shot him in the head. This will finish it off.
A rubber club. Are you just imagining a big dildo?
That's now all I could think
of. I was like, what would a rubber club? Oh my God.
Yeah, Rasputin was like, oh, I feel terrible. Oh, I feel good. Hit me again. The conspirators, thinking he's now gone, they bound him in and wrapped him up in cloth and threw him through a hole in the ice into the frozen Neva River. There was reputedly water in his lungs when he's...
Reputedly.
You just got a standing ovation for a pun. It's awesome. Thanks for being on board tonight, guys. We appreciate that. Reputedly, there was water in his lungs where his remains were discovered, indicating that he had finally died by drowning. So he may have survived being shot in the head, and then he was still alive when they threw him in the river.
Magic man.
Magic man. Some accounts say that the killers also severed his magic penis.
His magic penis.
Look, well, no account has ever called it a magic penis. I've just added that in for fun. I'm going to come clean.
They left his normal penis alone.
Quick, get his magic penis. Subsequently resulting in urban legends and claims that third parties were in possession of the penis. But apparently...
And it's here tonight.
But this seems to be a myth.
And then the song we play, sex bomb, sex bomb, no, I'm a sex bomb.
Everyone pass it around.
Have a look, pass it on.
Have a look, don't smell it, smells awful.
See, you ruined it. We're having a nice time and you ruined it.
This mic also smells like a magic penis, if you can imagine. So he's now dead. I'm afraid his body was discovered 3 days later. He died on December 30, 1916, at a time where the hardships of war had Russia on the verge of collapse. 3 months later, or even just 2 months later, in March 1917, the people revolted against the kingdom in a revolution known as the February Revolution. The Russian army sided with the revolutionaries, and Nicholas II, the Tsar, was forced to abdicate suddenly.
Tsar?
Tsar. He hoped to seek asylum in the UK, which was initially granted, but then there was internal pressure. Everyone was like, we don't want him, so they withdrew that, leaving him there. Aww. So the Russian royal family was imprisoned in a remote location. When the Bolsheviks seized power the following year in Russia in July 1918, and more revolutionaries, the family were awoken in the middle of the night, taken into a basement, and they were all quickly, summarily executed.
Except Anastasia. And that's where the report really begins.
Oh, thank
all right,
God.
So we got John Cusack, we got Meg Ryan.
Oh, thanks for taking the heat. I thought talking about the Russian royal family being executed was going to be a real down note, so appreciate that. Woof, got me out of there. But Rasputin's prediction just before his own death had come true. The rich people had killed Rasputin, so therefore the royal family were fucked.
And that's your end note, is it?
I've got here, there you go, that is the story of Russia's... Russia's greatest love machine. We made it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Dave, I got a special surprise for you. Could you close your eyes?
Okay. Oh God.
This is going to be quite weird for you.
Is it some sort of magic
penis? Yeah. All right.
We're sorry.
In some ways, it is. Yes.
And probably weird for a lot of you, to be honest. It's weird.
Oh. What have you got? What have you got for me? Oh, God. I was like, who's touching my face? Who's touching my face?
All right.
This is because you know I legitimate. Oh no. I forgot about this bit.
So.
I mean, to be honest, he bought it himself. Couldn't have been keener. I found one for half the price, and he said, no.
I want the $23 one from the Camberwell Market.
Can you explain the backstory? Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. To be honest, I can't remember it, but at some point Dave said he promised everyone.
Does anyone remember why? Because I can't. I promised. I'm holding a watermelon on stage for everyone at home. I promised that I would. I was like, yeah, I'd be cool with humping and headbutting a watermelon.
Hump and headbutt.
Does anyone remember
in that order?
My cousin Adam has never heard.
Porridge, yeah.
He's never heard this podcast before. He's standing at the back corner at the bar with his arms folded.
And very impressed.
I'd just like to ask Adam, can you please not tell the family about this?
It's not you doing it.
Adam, could you not tell my family about this? That would be. Oh, that's right. We put it to a Patreon vote saying that whatever you vote for, I'll hump and headbutt. And it was porridge, a watermelon. And, of course, you voted for the hardest one for my noggin. So we thought, as a special treat for the 100th episode, that we would do it here now as the grand finale.
I don't know if I want to look at this.
Are you guys keen on this? Right, how about we? Should we do a 3-2-1 countdown? Then I'll do a quick hump, and then I'll really headbutt it.
I definitely don't want to be in the footage of it.
Oh, don't make me go solo. Fuck.
Probably a good time to.
Anastasia, everybody. Here she is live! Jess, how do I start?
Hump.
There is legitimately no mark on the watermelon. Great, did you enjoy that? Let's get Matt and Jess back up here.
Probably a good chance to thank Webby on sound and on tech.
Ladies and gentlemen, the perfect music there. Could you please give it up for Jeremy Webb on sound tonight?
Also, Bianca on the door.
Thank you, Bianca on the door.
The bar staff.
The bar team.
I like how Dave's echoing the things I say.
Oh, I'd just like to also thank the European Beer Cafe, which put on a great Saturday night comedy show every week. It's on tonight at 8 o'clock in this very room. So we'll probably hang out here just for a few minutes and then we'll go upstairs. But thank you so much for coming out. 100 weeks of Do Go On! Yeah!
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye!
Later.
Bye!
Well, what a fun time that was. 100th episode for me, Matt Stewart. Obviously the 98th episode for Jess Perkins and Dave Warnicki, which is also a very good milestone, I think, for them. Dave did genuinely hump and headbutt that watermelon at the end, which was, you know, I think it was great. I think it was a really beautiful moment. And I think Jess was filming it, so hopefully you'll be able to see that sometime soon. Man, there was 120-something people there. It was a fucking sweet buzz to do it. It was so much fun. Hopefully it was fun for you guys to listen to.
I'd love to thank everyone who was there personally, but this is a couple of days later now, and I can't remember everyone's names. Nesta from California, I've hung out with a little bit. Thank him again for coming all the way out, which is just blew my mind, blew everyone's minds, I think. And also Edward O'Connor from Sweden. What a good guy. Both of those guys came to my festival show, so that's possibly why I remember their names particularly well. Anyway, I thought I'd just jump in here to quickly plug another fringe show that I'm doing coming up. It's called the It's called the Amazing Travelling Comedy Tour. It's on at 9:30 at the Melbourne Fringe from the 24th of September to the 1st of October at the Courthouse Hotel in North Melbourne, 8:30 on Sundays. It features great lineup, a rotating list of guests, including Alistair Tremblay-Birchall and Andy Matthews from the Two and the Think Tank podcast, which is one of our favourite podcasts. Also, Angus Gordon will be there a few times, who won the Best Newcomer at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And someone who you might know as Jess Perkins, because that's her name. And she's from the Do Go On podcast, as well as many other things. She'll be there on the 26th and 29th of September. So potentially they're great nights for you guys to come along. And if you want, there's a discount code of Do Go On. And yeah, that'd be sick to see some of you guys there. That would be super amazing. And the other thing that I'm really meant to be doing here is thanking a few of our Patreon subscribers, which, as you guys know, we love everyone who listens, but we particularly love the Patreon supporters because they help make this all financially possible for us to do. Not to make it gross and about money, you know, it's just nice to have their support on all levels, physically, mentally, and financially. I'd love to thank these guys for starters. How about this guy, Tom Burton? What a legend. He is from a place called Albuquerque, New Mexico, which I only really know from the Bugs Bunny cartoons. I think they use that a bit as a bit of a punchline. So I don't know if it's a funny place or what, but I've been looking up its website, visitalbuquerque.org, and I'm on the Things to Do tab. Things to Do, and they've got a variety of things, they say. You can play golf, you can go on a hot air balloon over the scenic Rio Grande Valley. I think how they pronounce it over there. Mountain biking, hiking among dormant volcanoes, horseback riding. This sounds like a great place. You could even stroll through Old Town. Stroll through Old Town. Man, that sounds like fun. So let me know, Tom, if that is the kind of thing that you'd recommend to do. I've only quickly looked up your town's website, but it sounds like a bloody ball there, to be honest. Thanks so much for your support. You are a motherfucking legend. We've also got Michael Williams, another gun who's on our Patreon. Thanks so much for your support, Michael. He's from a town called Brighton in East Sussex. I've been there. I've been to Brighton. I've still looked up their website. I know the town well because one of my favourite musicians, Nick Cave, lives there. And I went down on the pier and that sort of stuff. And their website does plug the pier. You got to check out the Brighton Pier. It's like wood and slats of wood that goes out a little way into the beach. That is good stuff. But I'm also looking on their website, what's on right now, and one of the key things here is, so you know this is a happening town, it actually is, I know Brighton's is a really, really big cultural town in England, but anyway, this one caught my eye. They've got an event on called Stories on the Wing, British Birds in Literature. It's a free event at the Booth Museum of Natural History. You can check this out for free. Here's their about. The special display explores the relationship between British birds and storytelling through the ages. Holy shit, am I intrigued. If only I was a little closer, I'd be getting there. That's for damn sure. And finally, I'd love to thank... thank you, Michael Williams, as I call him, Mickey Will. Now, that's how I call him. I'd also love to thank Henry T... I'm so sorry about this, Henry T. I'm going to fuck this up. Henry T. Wilhoit. I just got my face so close to the screen to make sure of it. Hopefully that's right. He's from Newburgh, Oregon. I think I'm saying Oregon in the correct American pronunciation. I would normally say Oregon. Probably neither of those are right. Anyway, I'm on the NewburghOregon.gov calendar tab. And you can look at any day, right? And the day this episode is coming out is, I believe, on the 20th. Of September. So I've looked up things that you could do in Newburgh today. If you're listening to it today, Henry T, you could go to the Senior Book Club at 1 p.m. You could, if you know, if you're up earlier, you could go to Sensory Story Time at 10:30 a.m. Also, they've got listed today sewer smoke testing. So it is a big day in Newburgh, Oregon. So I'd say it's unlikely that Henry's actually listening to the pod on this day. He'll probably catch up in a few days' time after all the bloody excitement has gone out of the town from the smoke testing in the sewer. I'm not fully sure what that means, but it sounds like a bloody good time. I'm going to let the other guys know that if and when we come over to do an American tour, we are stopping by Newburgh. Because that sounds like a bloody good time. Thank you so much, Henry, for your support. You are a mother-flippin' legend. I really appreciate everything you've done. What else do we normally say at the end of the episodes? I think we say stuff like you can check us out on Facebook, /DoGoOnPod, facebook.com/DoGoOnPod. Also on Instagram, our handle is DoGoOnPod. Our Twitter handle is DoGoOnPod. Please like us on there. We add extra, you know, things, photos and whatnot sporadically on there. And also, the Patreon, I think would be, if you looked up Do Go On Podcast or something like that, Do Go On Pod, that should get you there. That'd be really nice. And we, you know, people support us there, but we also give rewards. I normally check in every few weeks with a bit of an email newsletter thing. It's always very exciting stuff. Also do bonus episodes. There should be one of those coming out soon if we haven't done one already this month. They come out monthly. Also do votes on topics and those sort of things as well. So it's a good amount of fun. Dave's just messaged me. I asked him if he wanted to... Oh my God, that's really good. Apparently someone's bought bumhouse.com. That is so funny. All right. That was from, I think, a recent episode. Anyway, so if you looked up bumhouse.com now, I think it redirects to our podcast. That is fucking hilarious. Thank you so much to Jacob Sidney Grain. Thank you, Jacob Sidney Grain, you fucking mad dog. What else am I going to do? Oh, yeah, if you want to give us a, what do you call it? Give us like a bloody review thing on the podcast networks or whatever. Give us a 5-star rating. Yes, that'd be really nice. It helps us be more visible or whatever. And yeah, I think we got some exciting guests coming up in the next month or two, as we might have talked about. It sounds like, yeah, a few really fun things coming up. So that should be good. So stay tuned. And anything else? I think I just say, I normally say laters, I think. And then Jess says bye, and then Dave says, you know, probably something really suave, like, alrighty, good on ya, keep it real in the streets, and also in the sheets. Alright, cool. Thanks so much for listening, we'll be back next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.